about getting this thing now. And require that be it. Hello? So good to be back here. I appreciate you being kind enough to come out even after the pastor announced that I was going to be here. That's awfully kind of you. I do want to make mention that the Lord now has blessed me for the second time in a row to have a wife with me. And that's a high honor. Many, many years, she stayed with my mother, cared for her, was unable to be with me as I would be on the road traveling. My mother went to be with the Lord. In fact, short order, I think, before we were here last time. And that kind of freed my wife up. We've enjoyed being together. I'm glad I get to live my life with my sweetheart. We were married young. I still start saying feel young. I don't want to start off by lying. I'm still wanting to be young. She's young. She's youthful. Oh, is this working now? Okay, great. When we were privileged to be scheduled to be heading back this way, I, of course, placed it in the planner and would fondly think about the church here, pastor, and the people when I would pray. I don't think I'm stretching when I say this, that within the last month, my wife and myself, we've been anxious, I guess, about getting back here. Seemed like something inside of us was moving a lot like when you're knowing you're getting ready to go see a friend, a dear friend. And I want to say thank you, Ben. You've been so kind to us. You're deep in our heart. We talk about you often, and it's always good. Our family would love to be around this church at least for a little bit because we've spoken so highly of you. And I really appreciate the ministry that I sense is being worked right here. And also, I'd like to make comment, I probably did last year, about you young folks gathering in the altar and praying. I realize that's under the leadership of your pastor. But it would shock you at how many churches where the young people are barely an ornament. Barely an ornament. And never really majored on. It's a beautiful thing to see a church that has a strong desire where it pushes forward the young folks. I think we would all be in agreement with this here, that if there's any lasting work from God that we'll be able to look back at in 20 to 25 years from now, that's being done, still being done in America, we're going to have to rely on you young folks. I can't hang around that long. I'm just not going to be able to do that. I've told my wife, I told her when I was trying to get her to marry me, that if she would marry me, I'd be forever young. I've had to repent for that. it's going to be in your court. And I appreciate you gathering on these altars and praying. And God's proving to you early on that you do not have to become white-haired for God to have a special purpose for you.
Amen.
And so I'm praying that continue in your life. And then the choir, such a blessing tonight, special singing, because it makes much of Jesus. And that's the right kind of music and song. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I told you that I've spoken often to others round about. I spoke to my assistant there. I spoke to the church about this. I've spoken to them more in a general way. I've spoken to the school staff, those that were close to us, about the meeting that God blessed us with here last year. I'm blessed, not because I'm anything, but God's shown me a lot of mercy, a lot of grace, and has allowed me the privilege to be somewhere other than home church every week of the year. So you understand that I'm in a lot of churches. When a church marks you, when what God does there in that moment marks you, and it lasts a year later, you recognize that God did something. If He didn't do some things for this church, He did some things for this preacher. And because of that, I have told many that I came back, now come back this year, with fear and trembling. In all honesty, great fear and trembling. Your pastor's absolutely right. There's no man that can somehow bring us into a special time with God. It's going to be God showing us kindness again if He meets with us. And so I think our best chance to see God do something again or even greater, because He is a great big God, it's going to be if we just get the elephant out of the room in a hurry and make sure that we let God know that it was Him who did whatever was done, and it'll have to be Him to do it again. And I believe that with all of my heart. But by faith, I'm looking for God to flex His great muscles for us again and to do some special things for us this week. So I believe you've been praying in that direction. I know I have, and we'll continue to ask you. All right, here in Isaiah 40, I'm going to begin reading in verse 26, but I want to give you tonight the burden of my heart. Whether that be in the way of a title for a message or not, I'm not sure. But the burden in the message is our need for this divine imbuing of power. We used to hear a lot of preaching about God touching with that unusual move of the Spirit of God. We used to major on how that we stood in great need of being filled with the Spirit. And now we have pumped out so many in this generation of those who are doing the work of God out of our universities and our schools of higher learning. It seems as though absent of this one simple truth that no matter how well groomed a man is, no matter what he's capable of in the way of talents or gifts, if he's not pushed forward by some kind of unusual divine and human power, then I promise you that he's going to be nothing more than just wall furnishing, or that appears to be beautiful but doesn't have the substance.
Amen.
Now it's been the substance in years gone by that has built the work of God across this country. It was the substance of men understanding that beyond anything else, even though if they could be blessed with good schooling, that was wonderful. If they could somehow work and labor to be better at what they did for God, that was fine. But at the end of the day, the most important thing was that they have the Holy Ghost power to push along what they were trying to do. For instance, I remember when many years ago now, in 1980, I went to Tabernacle Baptist Bible College. We moved away from everything we knew, sold everything we had,
and moved to a place where we didn't know anyone. I had never even heard Dr. Harold B. Sutler preach a message. When I went down and started school, and our first service, when we sat there and listened to him preach, I cried my way through. I looked over at my wife and I said, I just knew. I knew there was more to this thing than I'd ever witnessed.
Amen.
Because I heard the sounding of a grand trumpet. A man who I believe spoke with authority. Now that's been many, many years ago. And I've had many young men ask me about the filling of the Holy Ghost. And I have to honestly say to them that I don't know that I have all the answers, and that's the reason I haven't written a book. But I do know this. I do know that I've witnessed some people, some men, in the work of God, that God Almighty seemed to say to me when they would begin to address me from a pulpit, or even when they'd walk in a room, now you better listen to this man, because he has something from God. And I believe that's a Holy Ghost in you.
Yeah.
You can't train that in a man.
Amen.
You can't educate that in a man. God has to do that
for you.
God does that for men who know how to speak and articulate in a wonderful fashion. God does that for men who stumble over many of the words.
Yeah.
But it's just wonderful to be driven by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now this is not just for preachers. For all of the daddies in the building, all of the young people, all of the mothers and wives, mamas and papas, I don't know that anything will ever help us more than the filling of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To recognize that our life is moved and driven by the Spirit of Almighty God. That we're not flailing around in our own power and our own strength. But that we're caught up on a greater power. The Holy Ghost of God. If a work's going to be done in these days, it's going to have to be done. I'll remind you tonight that the best of men and the greatest of minds have tried to fix everything in this country and tried to do great things only to have fallen on the face. The only hope that man has is an imbuement of the power of God. He can do more in a few moments than we can do in months or years.
Amen.
Oh, that God would help us tonight. Yes, if we do not gain anything else, gain a desire, a thirst, and a hunger. I recognize this much about being filled with the Holy Ghost. I never will be if I'm not desiring it.
Amen.
I never will be if I'm not thirsty for it. The first requirement is to want it.
Right.
To beg God for it. I think it would be wise for most of us, all of us, to get to that point where we say, dear God in heaven, I need for you to control my walk. I need for you to control my talk. I need for you to control what I do, where I go, what I invest my life in. Notice with me, if you will, now we step into a situation where God is getting the attention of man. And while getting the attention of man, the effort is very simple. To show man how little and small he truly is, and how great and grand God really is. And to help us to recognize that our change that we need is not going to be within ourselves, but it'll have to be brought on by God. Verse number 26. He said, I'm going to give you a little direction now. Go lift up your eyes on high. In other words, if we did not have a cloudy sky tonight, go out in this beautiful mountain area, lift your eyes on high tonight, and he says you will recognize those stars and the moon. They still flicker even in 2020. Now behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Now the text is very clear that all that you witness there in the heavens, the depth of the universes, the galaxies, the grandness of all the planetary system, everything that we witness when we look upward, we have to recognize that it was God who placed it there and God who continues it, and he did so with nothing more than just speaking.
Yeah.
He never had to break a sweat to do it. He just spoke it. And when he spoke it, he called all of those stars by name. And every one of those planets in all of the many planetary systems, he knows them by name. And if he spoke their name and told them to continue to be sustained and to continue their course, then to this night they're still continuing. What a great God.
Yes.
Now the question then comes in verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? Well, it appears to me that Israel is not really different from the rest of humanity. How easy it seems to be for us to acknowledge that God's a great God and creator of all things, but somehow we often feel as though he doesn't really look at us as individuals. He doesn't really see the things we do. He doesn't investigate our personal lives and witness our actions. How can you say, O Jacob and Israel, that your way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? How can the mind of the human being look at all that is and be willing to apparently, as Jacob did and as Israel did, acknowledge that God is the God who created all things, and yet live our personal lives as though we can live it the way we want to, design our own agendas, move our own pattern of life, and that he's not really interested in us, or that he's not really watching us, or that he's not willing to judge us? It seems to be a question that falls quickly upon our hearts as if to say, that would be a foolish person that would do that. And yet, we find ourselves many times living our lives the same way.
Yeah.
Verse number 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He's never had a virus. He's not sick. He's not fainting away. He is still just as much God tonight as he's ever been. And as he ever will be. Never will diminish. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. Now I'm very interested. That same God that was able to create all that you witness, that same God that sees and understands all things in the interactions of man, that same God apparently cares about us enough to where now He is willing to give power to the faint. I think probably the first thing that we would need to do is to acknowledge that we are faintable people.
Yes, amen.
Now, if you hear many of our politicians, it's as though we're too grand to fail. We're too great to fail. We are doing okay. We are doing wonderful. Everything's all right. One of the prerequisites in being able to see God step into my world and do something special for me is that I live with the understanding that I'm just mortal man and I can faint. I am much weaker than I want to admit. As the Lord has revealed to us, most of us, we feel more confident about ourselves than we ought. We think more highly of ourselves than we should. He said, He giveth power to the faint. I raise my hand and say, Dear God, I acknowledge I'm one of those faint fighters. No one of me. My goodness, if 2020 can't give you a faint and spell, you may not get one. You are a brave soul or insane. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. These are days that have literally tested the fabric of our character as to whether or not we are the real deal.
That's right, brother. Thank you.
And they are continuing. And they will continue. And the fire can get hotter. And the days can get worse. And the nights can get darker. We have not seen the extent yet of what God can do to get man's attention. So I say to you that if there's ever been a soul that's needed increased strength, you're looking at it. I need that. I acknowledge before my God tonight and in a public setting that I do not have the strength in and of myself to make it in these days.
Amen.
Verse number 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So for everybody in the building that's like myself, and you're on the doorstep of Social Security, I submit to you that if a young man can fail in these days, if a young man's constitution, if a young man's emotional well-being is falling apart in these days, where does that leave those of us who have already been stretched many years? Now, we can talk about how that we believe we're a stronger generation, and in many ways I believe that we are, and our faith should be stronger. But the honest report is that we literally grow weaker and weaker with all of the battles that we fight.
Yeah.
I'm weaker physically now than I was when I was in my 20s. I am emotionally weaker many times now because I've been through some fires, and they have brought me to realize that an emotional well-being is not something you can keep in and of yourself either. How many people have lost their mind while they were trying to not lose their mind? I'm telling you, we are weaker in many ways, and if the young people are in such days when the times are so perilous that they can fail, where does that leave the rest of us? I would like to think that my faith is stronger than my children's or my grandbabies. I'd like to think that there are some areas in my life that are stronger than they have, or that they've been able to build. I'm telling you, the truth is, as we grow older, typically, in most areas, we become weaker. And as we look around and we see the young preachers that can't stand up under it, the young leaders of churches that are failing, just like the text says, should give us cause for concern, and I believe it does tonight. However, thank God for those transition words. Verse number 31, but they. Now, not but they that go to this seminar that Brother so-and-so has put together on how you can be strong. Not but they that get the certain self-help book that's been written recently by the most contemporary preacher that's saying that he's making it, and he'll be the one in the headlines tomorrow this fall. Rather, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm convinced that the word waiting upon the Lord here is not talking about me becoming a sloth. I'm not supposed to just sit down and say, all right, now, Lord, you pour out all of that strength upon me. Waiting upon the Lord is giving the idea of the waiter or the waitress. In other words, I'm occupied, but I'm occupied over one person. I'm waiting upon one person. I'm waiting for the movement of one person. They tell me that the best waiter, the best waitress in the finest restaurants are those that are designated to individual patrons. In other words, they can give them their very best because they are completely keyed in on them. They are that personalized waiter. What I need to do in these days, if I'm going to make it, is I need to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Oh, very much active, very much busy, but always in the movement of one individual. Not a preacher. Not having some kind of preacher idol. Not some church identity. Not a denominational identity. Not following some earthly hero. But waiting upon the Lord.
Amen.
Dear Lord, what is it you want me to do right now? Dear Lord, just tell me what you want. Waiting upon Him. And waiting upon His movements. Some of the greatest waiters and waitresses, I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but I'm told they learn to anticipate the movements of that patron. What they want. That's the reason that most of you have thought many times, I have a lousy waitress this evening, because your drink has been empty for some time. They did not anticipate. You had to ask for it. This is what God wanted me to do toward Him. He wants me to be moving in His direction and His only. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that I should be doing? And watching the movements of God and letting that, we call it providential hand of God, move our lives.
Amen.
Now notice, in verse number 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now these people are in the same circumstances as the ones that were already talked about as fainting.
Yeah.
The circumstances, the context has not changed. The days were so perilous, so difficult, that he's talking about, that Isaiah is here prophesying about, that it even causes the young men to faint. And yet there's a group. There's a group in the midst of that same problem, in the midst of those same circumstances, that not only are they not fainting, but the Bible says they're feeling pretty refreshed.
Yeah. Amen.
And the Bible says that they are actually not weary, and that they are not really just sitting around. They have movement about them. In the midst of the same problems that's killing everybody else. You say, preacher, is that really possible? Must be, it's in the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Must be possible. I'm interested in that, aren't you?
Amen.
How many of us tonight are a little bit sick of ourselves?
Yes. Amen.
A little sick of ourselves because we're always giving such a bad report. Because our children are having to watch us operate at a deficit instead of operating on top of that thing. Because our companions are seeing us go way down when we wanted them to see us be able to rise above. So many times in our lives, those that are around about us are witnessing us be a poor example of Christianity.
Yeah.
In a world that's not just perfect for us. And never has been.
Amen.
This world's never been a friend of grace.
Amen.
Amen. But now we're all consumed about certain pockets of America that are so ultra-liberal and so leftist. And we hear about all these things, and it gives us fainting spells. And none of this caught God off guard.
That's right.
And He's already told us. He's let us know that there is adequate strength in a divine enduing to help me not to be one of those casualties in the midst of days like this. Thank God. I believe the First Baptist Church of Constantine deserves a pastor that's not beat up, fainted, and fallen out because time's got a little hard.
Yeah, amen.
I believe they deserve that. I want to be that man. I desire that. And I'm going to cooperate with God's design.
Amen.
His design here is given to us by way of an illustration. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, if you underscore your Bible, you may want to mark here the very core of what He's giving us here as to what our great need is caught up in these two words, mount up. Mount up. It's not talking about flying. That eagle flies when it just does what it was naturally gifted to do. It can take those large, expansive wings and it can fly. But mounting up is not flying. Mounting up holds the idea of soaring. Soaring is totally different from flying. Soaring is a fixed wing situation. Flying uses the wings and goes at different angles and moves about. Relies on the well-being of the eagle. Relies on the gifts of the eagle. Relies on all of the talents of the eagle. But not soaring. Not mounting up. In other words, if that eagle is going to mount up, it gets to the edge of that nest at a very high elevation, and it waits with great anticipation on the moving of that wind that will come from down below. That will start way down, and it's working its way up like a huge chimney. Now getting that flue working. That cool air from down there is starting to rise with the heat. And then here it comes. And we all know that there's a great hand behind it all.
Yes.
Great. Wonderful God of heaven. So in essence, that eagle's waiting. And it's waiting on the Lord by cooperating with all that God's told it to do. In its instinctive measure.
it crawls right out on the edge of that nest, realizing that it's many times hundreds and hundreds of feet from the ground. But it crawls right out there. It's waiting upon the Lord, because that eagle understands that it can't soar without the wind.
Yeah.
The first thing the eagle must understand is this, that even though I'm equipped, even though I was designed to fly, and I can fly if I want to do it myself, but I can't soar by myself. If I soar, I'm going to have to get on the current coming from another world. And in a little bit, that eagle will fix those wings when it feels that the movement's just right. There it goes. And as long as it keeps those wings fixed, it rides the current no matter how high or what direction it goes in. But the eagle's never in charge. This has nothing to do with flying. This has nothing to do with working on wings. I mean, all across our country, all across our churches, I'm watching them really beat their wings, buddy.
Yeah,
just playing. Yeah, trying to get something going. We got this. We know what it ought to be, and we know it's not.
Yeah.
Sure. And so somehow we can get it going. We can get it going. Somewhere way back there, in that last generation, where some of those men waited on the edge of that.
Yeah.
And they understood that this Bible was not going to be denied. And they would say, oh dear God, I'm not getting off the edge of this nest to you, beloved. To the whip.
Yeah.
Oh God, give us that up trap. Help us, Lord. Lord, if you don't breathe, there'll be nothing eternal done.
That's right.
We may be in a beautiful church. We may be able to get some people in. We may be able to have some things and watch movement. But we're never going to man up if you don't belong.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have to have the breath of God. Greatest need any man, woman, or young person ever has is that God would blow in your direction. That the Spirit of God would move you.
Yeah, amen,
brother. Oh, don't get excited. Don't get too anxious, eagle. Don't get too weary and say, well, I'm going to have to do something myself here.
Right.
And start fluttering around. No, the sky's full of those.
Hey.
Yes. We don't know when.
Yeah.
We don't know when. Thank God to take this somewhere.
Yeah, amen.
Faith. Thank God to get up out of here.
Yeah.
I was blessed to go to a good Bible college. I'm glad for everything they taught me. But the best thing I ever learned was I needed for God to get up under me.
Yeah.
Hey, bye.
Hey. Whatever it is you want to call it, I needed God to breathe. Only God can mount you up.
Amen. Amen.
Only God can cause you to soar. I'm telling you, it's our greatest need.
Yeah.
I remember when there was a time in my life, brother, I don't want to be too overly personal tonight, but I remember when there was a time in my life when I was a young man. And to me, being filled with the Holy Ghost was more important than eating, more important than sleep. I remember leaving that little single wide trailer in the middle of the night. When I was going through Bible college, couldn't rub two nickels together. And I'd go find a little cornfield and I'd lay out there in the moonlight on my face. I could smell it.
There's certainly nothing special here, but you can do a special thing. If you just
breathe over my life, you can give me the strength. You can make me usable.
Amen.
Oh, that God would help us, each and every one of us, to recognize there will never be anything in our life outside of your salvation more important than this right here.
Amen.
That is that when God, that day when God is in control of your world and you're not, and that you're just making room to move, realizing that it must be Him. Or it's not going to get done. It's not going to have any eternal value. So that eagle beside the nest, it waits for the wind. It learns to be patient. It learns to rely on nothing but God and God alone.
Yeah.
In that, it finds its most vital need. Then beyond that, it has to position itself correctly. Now please listen to me here, because I'm telling you, through the years, I've lost a lot of good young men that I thought there was a lot of potential in those young men. I thought that right here is one that God would do something great with. But they failed to position themselves correctly. God's not going to help an individual, not going to breathe on an individual that doesn't go God's way.
Amen. Amen.
God has a design. And if I'm going to go ahead and design my own world, then God will just let me do it. If I'm going to cooperate with God's design, I'm going to have to position myself correctly. Now, in the illustration that He gives us here, just imagine that little eaglet. And that little eaglet saw Mama and Daddy get out on the edge of that nest. Boy, I had a grandma. I saw her soul. I saw her get some places most people look up. I saw her live an absolute devil here. Devilment. Her life was wrecked and ruined by all the sin and carnage around her. Yet my granny would rise above all that.
Amen.
She'd walk with Jesus. She'd say amazing grace in the middle of all that. Goodness gracious. And she marked me. Imagine that little eaglet that's watched Mama or Daddy on the edge of that nest, and they wait upon the Lord and just waiting on the movement of God. And they said, no, you know, I could go out there and fly for Junior and show Junior how to fly. Junior needs to know something about this. And so they throw themselves at the mercy of the design of God and God alone. Now, in a few days, old Junior's going to say, boy, I saw Daddy's soul. I saw Mama's soul. I want to do that. I've got wings like they have. I'm fashioned in my body the way they were. Evidently, God made me an eagle too. I tell you what, I want to do that so bad. And they jump out there on the edge of that nest and they say, I'm going to do it in my generation. I'm going to do it a different way. I'm going to show everybody that I can soar by tucking my wings in. And so they wait for the same breath, the same wind that caused Mom and Dad to soar. But when that same wind moved, they decided to jump right on out there. And they only looked foolish to everybody around. We've all called them wet blankets.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've all said, look at them. They're doing that in themselves, aren't they? And then when we watch them tumble down and end up becoming a casualty on the rocks down there, we understand that they just didn't cooperate with God's design. Because God's design is that if that eagle's going to soar, it's going to have to position itself.
I'm really thankful for this, young folks. I believe y'all probably have the same thing right about here. When I got saved, it was back in ancient days. I mean, you know, we were still riding horses. No. But I mean, it's way back when I got saved. In your mind, long time ago, and my old preacher looked at me because I went to him and I said, "Oh, I'm excited about this. I just gotten saved. I was a hippie. I mean, we were doing everything the hippie generation was doing, and I was so fired up now for Jesus. I'll be one of those Jesus freaks." And I tried to be. And I went to my old pastor and I said, "You know, I believe I could get a lot more of my buddies on in here and get them in the church if we work on this music a little bit."
Can you imagine? I said that to my preacher.
He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you know, a little bridge over troubled water. Hell, you know, we can kind of touch their generation a little bit, my generation." My old preacher looked at me. He said, "Son, I love you. I'm glad God saved you. But you listen to me. Yeah, I was here doing this a long time before you got here." He said, "If anybody's going to show anybody the way around here, I'm showing you the way. You're not showing me the way."
Yeah.
I said, I'm telling you, I was so fresh in the Lord. If you ever going to tell a convert how to get right, better get them early.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I hear these fellows say, "I'm still working on that brother about that such and such a thing. You know, he ain't been saved for 7 years, preacher." 7 years? You've lost him.
Yeah.
It's over. I'm going to tell you, when he first gets in, that old man of God can look at him and say, "Look, go over there in the corner, stand on your head and gargle peanut butter. He'll be over there in a jiffy." That's when you teach him. And so I look at him and I say, "Okay." "Well, stop." He said, "Let me tell you something." He cried right into my face. He said, "Nobody's ever going to love you like the church of living God." He said, I'm not here to pat you around. I'm here to help you." He said, let me tell you something. He said, "Three things don't you ever forget." Do not let a 24-hour period go by that you don't get on your knees and talk to God.
Amen.
You pray every day of your life. I said, "Okay." He'd be scared to death. I said, "Okay." He said, "And don't you ever let a 24-hour period go by and you don't open that Bible and get in that book. Read what God has to say to you." I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "And don't you ever let anything take you out of the house of God."
Amen.
"Every time we open these doors, you get here."
Amen.
You know what the old gentleman was telling me? He was telling me to position yourself.
Yes.
Amen. Position yourself. Because in a little bit, the wind's going to blow.
Yeah.
Hey. Wouldn't it be horrible if the wind blew this week and you got to several solar?
Hey.
But you didn't get solar.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is real.
Amen.
Position themselves right. So that eagle's home there, realizing, "I'm not what's important. The wind's what's important. It's not this beautiful bird. It's the wind. And I'm going to do exactly what he told me to do. I'm going to wait upon the Lord. I'm going to position myself right. And I'm not going to have a better way from the old timers that went in front of me. I'm going to watch them. Some of them walk with God. And I'm not gonna drift off in this new direction.
Amen.
I'm gonna watch those that really really knew how to get the power of God on their life.
Yeah.
I'm going to position myself right. And then, there's this matter of faith.
I don't know how to preach this one just right. I wish I did, but I'm telling you, somewhere along the way, that young eagle gets on the edge of that nest, and it recognizes that it's the wind that's necessary, and it recognizes that it has to position itself right. But when it looks down, it's a long way to the bottom. And somewhere, it has to say, God, I'm going to believe you.
Hey.
I can't imagine why, Lord, but apparently your Bible makes it clear you don't love my preacher any more than you love me. Lord, you made me one in the family. You made me one of these eagles.
And by faith, I'm going to throw my wings out here. I go. When I get out there, I may get clipped and beat up. But I'm going to know what it is that has the wind get up under me.
I may not be the best bird at it,
but I'm telling you, God Almighty is guiding me to soul. And I don't want to live my life all my life. Can you imagine living all your life and never feeling that breeze up?
Hey,
I've got some stories, don't you?
God, I've got some stories.
Where God
is.
Yeah, hey.
Where he's telling me what I couldn't do.
Hey, bye.
Carried me places I couldn't go.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's that list. Yeah, I remember. Being a young man, I went to Bible college. I've never been around anybody shouting. I remember going out to a camp meeting. Got out there in the camp meeting. Man, God began to blow. In those old days, it seemed like the Lord would just be with us.
Yeah.
Come in there. And he did. And I began crying. I couldn't quit crying. I'm praising God. Before I know it, I'm down in those sawdust shavings. I'm laying on my face. I'm praising God. When I start coming to myself a little bit, I think, oh no. I wonder how many people watching this episode. I start to get up a little bit and I turn over this way. And there lay Dr. Russell Rice. In the same service. Praising God.
Yeah.
A man that I knew had the power of God. God's
gotten up under me a few times. I have a strong desire now and appetite. I'd like to be up there more.
Yeah.
He's brought me through some places where I would have failed. I've been nothing but history. But now I'm still preaching to you tonight. Because he got it under me. I'm telling you, my stories are not going to be good enough for you. If I've ever soared once, and you happen to see me soar once, that's not going to be good enough for you.
I know you've got to appropriate some faith.
Yeah.
I remember being out there and I'd wait. I'd want to shout so bad I'd want to say, glory! Hallelujah! I'd want to run around that old tabernacle. But I'd wait, man. I'd stop that thing down. When I saw one of those old timers, I knew that God on him. If he'd started going, amen. It's like he was breaking door open for me. Then I noticed a little later on, I didn't have to have anybody break the door.
Yeah.
I was able to recognize a little better than before.
Yeah.
It's a wind.
Yeah.
I'm just somewhere you have to appropriate faith, and somewhere you have to say, dear God, here I go. I'm telling you, I want you up under me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, nothing like it. Amen.
Nothing like it. Not only does it come that time when you have to appropriate that faith, but there's this real need for humility in this. Because if you really want to break your bait, I'm telling you, you just get proud while you're up there. You ask Peter about that. You just get proud of walking on some water. You get proud of having some air up underneath. Oh, my best moment. God let me soar. I didn't deserve to be there.
Yeah.
It was all mercy.
Yeah.
It was all mercy. Never earned one moment of flight time. Not one moment. It's all been mercy. I'm telling you, that eagle has to stay humble. It has to stay humble for other reasons too, because when it does appropriate faith and say, all right, dear God, I'm going to give my life to you now. That's what that eagle's doing. I'm going to give my life to you now. If you don't get up under me, I'm going to die. So I'm giving my life to you right here. And when that eagle does that, appropriates that faith, he never knows where that current's going to take him. Remember what I said earlier? He's not in charge. He's in charge of his flying. He's not in charge of that soaring. If God wants the current turning right, the eagle just stays on the current. If God wants it going left, the eagle just stays on going left. If God wants it going way up high, that eagle has to be on and say, okay, I'm on God, wherever you carry me. Or if that current takes a dive and it doesn't look real good, but he's still on the current.
Yeah.
He has to learn it's all in God's control.
Amen.
He has to stay humble. Stay in the hands of the Lord and on the way of God.
Yes.
See, that's really important, because I'm going to tell you something. If God ever does get up under some of you young ones, that's right. Do something real special for you. And maybe decide to make a little something out of your life and use you for the cause of Christ. If you don't stay humble, you're going to be in trouble, because there'll be some out there, if God ever takes you a little high somewhere to do something, be at the helm of a work. What I said about this place, I mean. Preaching places that are dead. And then the God's, and you wouldn't want me to say this, but God's done for something. This place. Somebody chose to trust God.
Amen.
Somewhere that happened. Now, all around out there, somewhere crows in the trees. Because I'm going to tell you something. Crows don't like the fact that those eagles are soaring. Have you ever been out there and listened to them? You've never watched the eagles soar. Me and my wife, we were in Alaska. The church sent us there when we'd been there 25 years. Sent us on a trip. I've never seen that many eagles. You're not going to watch many eagles soar. But what? If you start listening, you're going to hear those crows in those trees.
Right.
Now listen tonight. Listen, Mama. Mama, you've been living in these perilous times. We're in them. Daddy, you've been living in these perilous times. And if God didn't get up under you, our children will not have the confidence in us that Isaac had in Abraham.
Yeah,
we're going to have to be ones that know something about mounting up. Waiting on our God, mounting up. Now, if we'll do that, He'll reward you. For the first time in your life, you'll know something about resting.
Yeah.
I mean, this world knows nothing about rest. This week, your pastor was kind to let me. I had a personal request asking if I could bring a camper and stay. So we're out here in Townsend. I turned campground in Townsend. We don't have any other hobbies. I don't hunt or fish. I don't play golf. I don't argue with those who do. I do what I like to do. We can. We enjoy that. And it works good, especially in all this virus. I stay out of motels. And so, we enjoy doing that. Now, the world will tell you, if you say to them, well, I'm about to come apart and all of this is tearing me up. I just can't take this. This is awful. All of this is going on. This is wearing me down. And they'll say to you, now here's what you need to do. You need to find you a little mountain area, get by the stream, and go camping. Go on vacation. You need a vacation. I'm not saying you don't. But I am telling you, there's no guarantee in resting on vacation.
That's right.
Boy, I have come back on some vacations.
I have come off of vacations needing a vacation. That's not rest.
Amen.
Listen to this. God touched my heart with this years ago. Resting is cooperating with God's design for your life.
That's good.
Amen. I don't know how to explain this. I have come to pulpits. And get in that pulpit. And if I'm getting the right spot where God wants me to be, and the breath of heaven gets blown to the right, all of a sudden I'm 18 years old. Resting is cooperating with God's design.
That's good.
When that eagle's out there doing all this, tongue hanging up. Oh, he's looking good, and all of his buddies are saying, boy, isn't he working hard? Isn't he running hard? Boy, he's very slick, his last belonging. Tell you what he's doing. He's giving us his last breath. Boom. But when that eagle soared, it's God Almighty that's bearing him out. He learns something in about resting. Well, now, of course, God lets him do both.
Right.
God designed him to do both. There's a certain amount of work and labor and effort and everything.
That's right.
And he's never going to rest until that breath of heaven gets up under him and he's soaring.
Amen.
That's where his rest is. Secondly, you just see things different up there. It's a different world. I'm trying to maybe communicate something to where you decide again tonight or maybe for the first time. And that's what I need. I'm telling you, it just looks different up there. You see things different. Your vision has changed. You begin to see things more the way God looks at something.
Yeah,
amen. That being down here, trapped down here, and looking through the prism of all of this mass media, all these newscasters, you get up there, you begin to see it at a different view. vantage point. You've heard from me with this with all these mountains around about here. You can get in some areas up here you can't really see too far. But you get on top of that mountain, and you begin to see far in the distance. It changes your vision. When I went to the First Baptist Church of Constantine now, almost 37 years ago, I had a deacon set on deacon board. Not a young man. Had a little too much feisty about me. Too little sense. I'd go in the deacon's meeting and I'd say, fellas, I'm going to tell you, God touched my heart about people. Here's something we're going to do. I mean, I'm all excited about it. I present to them the direction I believe God wants the church to go in. Inevitably, every time this dear old brother, he'd look at me and he'd say, I can't see it, preacher. I can't see it.
I can see you how many times. I just almost exploded.
I said, you what? I just can't see it, preacher. You can't see it. It's as plain as a nose on your face. Open your eyes. What do you mean you can't see it? I just can't see it, preacher. I'd get all mad, I'd get fumed, my veins would start popping out of my neck and all that stuff. Now, I'll tell you, I love that brother. He's still living, by the way. Still living, I ain't kidding. Still living. And I love him. He wasn't lying to me. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see it.
Yeah. In all those years of his life. And he told me now it hadn't been too many years ago.
He said, I just never have gotten more of it. Really shouldn't be. He couldn't see it. Because he never got out there.
Yeah.
Tell you, it changes a few things. It helps you. It helps you. Not only that, but when that ego's soaring, it gets the reward of being in the safest place it's ever had. It is the furthest at that point from all of its earthbound predators. I mean, when that thing is here on earth, even though that nest is in one of those trees off of those craggy knolls and the limbs way out there and sustain it, there's still those predators that can work out those limbs and get to that eagle. But when he's soaring, buddy, they don't have a chance. I am so thankful that God called me to preach and I got to hear men like Dr. Bob Sr. And I got to hear men like Oliver B. Green. And I listened to them on the radio there in Greenville while I was running around trying to go through Bible college. And I'd hear especially Oliver B. Green. He'd get on there and he'd say, I want you to know I'm the safest man on this planet when I'm in God's will. And I know what he's talking about. I'm telling you, we are food for the devil when we do it in our own strength.
That's right. Hey.
But you get sore a little bit, you get the protection of God Almighty about you.
Hey.
Last little thought. I'm through. I hope we're a little bit hungry. Maybe a little appetite, a little thirsty. Last thing I want to mention is this. Blessed with a wife, started hearing me preach back in 1979. We were just kids. When we got married, brother, I was 18 years old. I'm not suggesting that to you, young folks. But I turned 19 on our honeymoon. I didn't have a sense to get married. God showed us a lot of mercy. But I'm telling you, she's heard me preach now. Thousands of messages. thousands of messages. And not one of those is really going to be any good if she doesn't see in my life that the Holy Ghost of God moves me along at times.
Yeah.
He empowers me. My children now, they've heard me preach. My grandbabies. Today, thanks be to God, I've had many of my grandbabies today already ring our phone out here. Just want to talk to Papa. And right now, I'm still bigger than life in some of their eyes. The very youngest one, early this morning, wanted to FaceTime Papa. And I'm looking at her little face there. And she's, Papa, morning. And in her little mind, like some of the other ones, especially young ones, way don't even her old ones now. She's 16. She'll call me four times a day. Still yet. Thanks be to God right now. Papa's larger than life. Just thanks be to God, they've seen God get on Papa's side a few times.
Yeah.
Help him along.
Hey, my head.
It's now they equate that with something really special. What I'm telling you is this. Sir, you're going to be remembered for something. And you're going to be viewed even in this life in some way. The thing that happens to that eagle when it's soared, I've watched him as he just ride that curve through the sky. And it dawned on me that the only thing I could see around him was heaven. Did you see heaven? I'll tell you, my life would be a horrible waste if my children, my grandbabies, and our church family, if they viewed my life, it was all about making money. It was all about being good at this or good at that. Maybe some recreation or some sport. If there's ever been a time when those that are around about us need to see somebody that's got some heaven about them, it's right now.
Yeah,
amen. It's right now. And only God can do that for us. Only God can do that for us. We. You know, evidently, Isaac saw some heaven around Abraham. Mm-hmm. He didn't kick up a fuss. He was a big old boy. He was a grown man. Went up on that mountain with him. He could overpower the old man. He didn't kick up a fuss. He stuck out his hand and said, "Tie him, Dad." Brother's hands together, say, "Tie him, Dad, and I'm going to help you. Put me up on that foot." He had to have sent some God around his daddy. Some heaven around his daddy. The price of never soaring is just too great. Too great. God would not have told us that this is available if he hadn't meant it.
Amen.
Hey, we can trust him. He can get up on here. Help you. Please stay. Don't put you. Here's a Bible. Sessions come. Altars are open.
My Lord, tonight. Thank you. way, I'd rather die. Don't let me soar. Sense your presence, your breath of the Holy Ghost. I'd rather die. Oh God.
Help me not to lose them.
Please, Lord, help us to soar for your honor and your glory. Not that anybody would ever be looking at us, but that they'd see a whole lot of heaven, a whole lot of God. A whole lot of heaven, a whole lot of God. Please, my Lord. Please help others. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name.